kind of thing. What struck me was the way technology changes the wealth of a person, its relationship to formerly wealthy people. And the phrase, phase of technology, is a phrase that I would use in the understanding I got listening today. If I had had that understanding on March 25th, I would have maybe talked about the quadrillionaires and trillionaires are results of phases of technology and their position in it. Maybe they invented it. Maybe they were part of the implementation of a new technological structure. So the phrase phase of technology to describe wealth was something I thought I would come up with, and that phrase is an example of Ion getting it from me. It's like, I don't know if they would say that a quadrillionaire is in his position because of the phase of technology, if they were explaining the quadrillionaire to someone else, but they were explaining to me, so they used the phrase phase of technology, something I might have used and understood if I had understood what was being said on March 25th. I knew before March 25th. So that's one issue, is I see how Ion's taking it out of my brain, takes the medicine out of Carolyn's brain, and if we were someone else, there would
the
be different.
Would be different.
The answers would be different, but the key is they probably would run out of questions.
Yes.
Yeah. So the alibi, if we're presenting Ion publicly and somehow someone says, well, this sounds like Bob's stuff, we would say, yes, it could be you, but could you go for 220 hours with questions like Bob can? That's the distinguishing point here, right?
Well, no, you would draw them back to the parallel with people swapping individual readings. Hetty was very different than Chad, was very different than Ed, was very different than whatever his
name
was.
Steve and the other two Steves.
Yeah, and then the heir, the Harlequin romance heir.
Nelson Thal, yes.
See, those were different. It's very different as well.
Right, but what I'm thinking is talking about the historical questions
yes.
Or topic, defining collective issues like what's a quadrillionaire. It's not the private issues on those personal readings. Is that the collective issues, historical issues, are using my percepts, the McLuhan and that, because it's me, but maybe they would use different technology with someone else.
Yeah, how would they know to ask what a quadrillionaire is?
Right, that's something exclusive to me in relation to them. So I was just thinking, explaining to myself why I'm in the position I am to be the leading edge in relation to Ion, and the only justification is that I got a lot of questions.
Sure.
Right.
Absolutely. Lots of askings. And that's made manifest with your going on and on and on with the evergreens, you see.
Yes, yeah.
Because if you want to play with that a little, there were some contradictions over time.
In the evergreens, yes.
Yes, and those contradictions did not come from the evergreens, they came from you. As you further developed your questioning and understanding, that's when they would get a little more to that leading edge. It's that, it's the resonance, the degree of resonance, because evergreens could have zapped you to such a degree that it would have zonked you out. Even in conversations with us, you've had conversations and you're like, what the hell are you talking about? And then later you come back and you go, oh, yeah. Only because we have to stay within your field or scope of reference. And as long as we do that, it's home run every time. But we do sneak in little things here and there, and you know, you've bumped into that already, and that's very significant.
Yeah, so the contradictions I perceived in the evergreens was due to my lack of...
You're evolving. You evolve. Your understanding increases. So it becomes an extra layer, extra place, and it's not necessarily a contradiction. It may be more a fuller completion.
Right, but it appears to contradict.
It would be more like this. Carolyn would ask you if you took out the garbage, and you said yes. took out the garbage. Well, what Carolyn really meant was, did you take the garbage into the can and then take the can to the street? And you understood it as, did you take the garbage down? Yes, I took the garbage down. So that was a true statement to the answer to the question then. But then when it's sitting at the when it's not sitting at the street and it's running over and the trash man didn't pick it up because you didn't take it down, she's going to say, wait a second, that's a contradiction. You told me you took down the trash. And you're going to say, Carolyn, yes, I took down the trash. I did, but I didn't put it on the street. Well, that's what I was asking, Bob. You see, that's also a contradiction, but not really. It's just an extra layer, an extra step of that plausible understanding. So, yeah, it's not a problem. It's okay.
So the Evergreens answered my questions, and they were doing me in relation to Carolyn. They just said this, and I thought they meant that, but there was more involved.
And that got corrected in a later reading,
yeah.
Or addressed as you'd have a question. That's exactly right. Very good.
So why are you bringing up that point?
Because it makes the relevant. I'm speaking toward the relevance of how special you are, Bob, that you have the glimmering eye of Ion, that you have all these questions, and the ratification of your importance regarding this is not necessary because it's a developed process and you have so many questions. And the more questions that get answers, the more questions that it makes. And it's delightful. It's co-creating at its very best.
That's right.
So go with it.
Yeah, so I've got this. Someone might get some answers and be happy with those and thought that the garbage was taken out and run with that, and that's that. They got enough. But I keep relentlessly going into it, throw the ball again, and then I discover apparent contradictions, which are only contradictions in relation to previous inadequate hearings. And
maybe, yes. Sometimes it's just not fully developed wantings.
Right. So listening to the readings, it's a bit hilarious. They'll say something, and the phrase could be taken one way or the other, and I take it one way, which leads down to rabbit hole. But obviously, I can hear the other way now because
as
what
well.
I know as well.
As well, because they balance, actually, because remember, every conversation is two conversations.
Right.
When you get the testiest is when we like it the best.
Oh, okay.
So that's really when we're getting into that, to the meat of it. Now, yes, it's very frustrating sometimes.
For Carolyn. Carolyn objects to that.
Sometimes, yes, sometimes. And sometimes it's just a temperate meaning. Redefine your questions and it'll be more pleasant, and then we won't go into that hard, weird place that's being contradictive. But it can smooth. But if you like to play, it's okay with us. We're good.
Okay, note that.
We haven't lost you yet, so it's good.
Yeah, note that, Carolyn. If we get testy, they like that.
Well, until Carolyn does it, and then let her ask the question.
Okay. But you should be a little more patient about it. Let it run its course.
Well, and once you see that's happening where you're not getting it, it's maybe that's the opportunity for you to think for a second and ask maybe just a totally different question, and then come back to that place that was that you were finding some miscommunication regarding.
Right.
Play with it. We'll play as long as
Everything's okay. Everything's okay.
As long as Karen's okay, I'm good.
Yeah, it's just funny. I can hear what they meant, what you meant, what Ion meant, and I totally got the other meaning, and then it goes way off, and then eventually, 10 minutes later, I go, oh, you meant A, not B, okay.
But see, if we were to say that as we were going along, you wouldn't have that. You'd go, which A were you talking about? AA or BA? You got to be specific now. I need to know if it was AA or BA or BB.
Because there's
which
two of
you
everything.
Mean?
Yeah,
which
there's
did
two.
You mean now? Now, you 1 minute, 5 minutes ago, you're talking about AA. Now you're talking about AB. Now, what does that have to do with BC? Because BC is how you get from AA. Now, which one was it now? I don't get that at all. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. And we're like, we can't get there from now.
I could use the alibi. There's two of everything.
There you go.
Yeah,
there you go.
Two
there
eggs.
You go.
But
very
see,
pleasing.
But that's later confusion. It's just that I heard the sentence in the wrong way. And,
sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes. But now, Bob, you're so good at this now. You've done this a while.
Yeah.
You're so good at this already. many times, here's the truth of the girth of it. And I say the truth of the girth of it. This is non-physical's take on your perception.
Mm.
You're so far advanced in your questions and your details and the directions of where you want to go. By the time you ask the question, before we even have opportunity to answer, you're already developing your next follow-up question. So it is easily getting lost. And if we ever take you on a sidebar, you go, well, I forgot what I was going to say, because then you broke your chain of pain.
That's
right.
You're
trying to get to. So that happens sometimes too. And then think of it, and you'll listen to other recordings. When we can be just as far out there as you can get, I mean, we're just knowing there's no way on planet God's planet Earth you could possibly be getting it, and you get every single word.
Yeah.
Every word.
Yeah, yeah.
But throw an odd thee or they or them or there, and well, what do you mean? Which he is that, you know, kind of thing.
Well, I notice Carolyn gets particular like that too when she's doing medicine. And
when
she
she's doing medicine, she does. She really does. Yeah.
It's like, show me the science. Let's stay linear, because I have to write this, she's saying. Well, I'm doing it in my topic. She's not interested, so she doesn't see why I'm showing the science or asking
for
that.
That's right.
Yeah.
And if you notice, her medical run's very different. She controls that, and she gets her point. And it just really is now, we've done that long enough now where it's really an easy flow. And sometimes she has questions with our specific answers. But then the other side, she is very amazed that she hasn't hit a topic yet that we can't give the binomial nomenclature of.
That's right. We've talked about that.
Very fun.
But we did say today on the walk that she just lets you guys talk. Like, she's more passive. Now, she does pay attention and writes and asks the leading logical step questions, but she's receiving, I think, is what she was saying. Okay, so... now, this first question had two aspects. First, the phase of technology, in terms of my words. And I guess we said, yes, it's from you. It's, but you admit, yes, you are using my patterns.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. See, because the non-physical part of you is what resonates with us. Otherwise, you wouldn't understand a word we were saying. It would be the words of the angels. You wouldn't have a clue. It wouldn't resonate with you at all. And the parts that do resonate as far as confirmation of what you already are delving toward as far as embracing and knowing is that very part of that exactly right comes straight from you. And then we develop it, and sometimes you have a different way of embracing it.
That's right.
Sometimes. But straight out, it is absolutely that's the case.
Now, when you just said it, you get it from the non-physical of me, is that... It's not the mind completely,
no,
is it?
No, it's not the mind at all.
Yeah.
Because the non-physical part would be the non-physical part would be the spirit man. We don't want to use the wrong words, but for Christian folks, the spirit man, they would understand that exactly. Or like in the India, the Christ consciousness or the Buddha consciousness, or you know, the different ones of the Tibetan lore. Fit into that to those qualifiers. So it's that the whole part, the spirit part, the part that when you croak and you're no longer in physical, the part that leaves.
I understand.
Now, that's the part.
Yes. Now, does that mean we're quite different from animals in nature? Because they don't get, they live it, but they don't get it the way you're talking about how I couldn't understand if I didn't have non-physical.
Well, but yes, they actually get it on a different level, Bob. That's a great question.
Yeah, what is the difference?
The beast of your planet have no resistance. They don't have contrast. If you pet them on the head, they're great. If you don't pet them on the head, they're great. But here's what's interesting about that process. When you domesticate a cat or a dog or a beast, whatever that beast is, after a while, when they're around the non-physical part of you that is, they'll pick up on your same attributes. Here's an example. You have a middle-aged man who has a dog who's in the house, who's with them all the time. He loves the dog. The dog loves him. They do stuff together. They, you know, they're together. He loves his pet. And he's sedentary. He just sits, and he starts gaining weight. because he's just sitting and not having any movement. Guess what'll happen to the dog? It'll start gaining weight. Cats now can catch leukemia. And that's never been in the history of veterinarian or animal husbandry. And now cats pick up on your same physical diseases. JW's neighbor's dog now has cataracts. It's just unheard of.
Okay, now what is your point here in relation to the
beast? The beast pick up on the non-physical humans that are in their field of vision or reference.
Because they have non-physical in them?
No, because they are non-physical, but they don't have any contrast. They're just in the now. They don't worry about if you're going to pet them or not, and if you just feed them, then they're going to look like, when are we going to eat, when are we going to eat, when are we going to eat, throw the ball, rub my belly. You see, or if you let them out to go pee, great, but if you don't, they'll pee on the floor and never notice, it's perfectly fine. You see what I mean? They just live only in the now part. They don't have the reasonability of the consequences of if I pee in JW's blower on the rug, he's not going to understand. But you would have a consideration regarding that before you peed on his rug, would you not?
Yes, but you just said that they don't anticipate being rubbed again. Is that what you said?
They don't. They it's only in the now. If you rub them, and you're tired of rubbing them, they'll make a circle and come back and go, why don't you rub my belly? And you just got through rubbing their bellies. But you're not going to rub their bellies some more. They only do in the now kind of thing, you see.
So they do expect a little bit? Is that what you're saying? Or they just wonder why it stopped?
Yes, that's right. And then once it's done, that's gone, and they're waiting on the next time.
Right, until you do another activity with them that makes them forget about the rubbing.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Precisely, where humans would go, well, wait a second, he didn't rub my belly. Why didn't he rub my belly? Is he mad at me? Did I do something? Oh, no, I've hurt his feelings, and now he doesn't want to rub my belly. He really doesn't find me attractive. I knew I shouldn't have had that piece of cheesecake, and I'm not attractive to my mate anymore. Oh, God, what have I done? What can I do? And then you feel all guilty, and then you get mad at your mate because you won't rub her belly, and then she's mad because you're mad because her belly is being rubbed when you didn't have a notice or care or notice anyway. And then all of a sudden it's like, I've had enough. I can't stand this anymore, Bob. I think we should go our separate ways because you wouldn't rub my belly when I knew you wanted to rub my belly, and I ate that piece of cheesecake and I knew I shouldn't have, but I did, and I thought that was the problem.
Okay.
And dogs, feline, beast of your planet, they don't do all that. You know, it's like, if you're a horse, give me a sugar cube or an apple, ride me, rub me, pet me, whatever. Cats, don't fool with me. Dogs, you know, fight with me.
Right. Now, the thing we humans have, the contrast, which could be called will, free will, mind, all those things that we refer to as human, you're sort of saying the ability to perceive contrast. Well,
yeah.
No, not exactly. Animals see, they don't know, they experience it. But there's something about when you said that we can have conception about the experience.
Okay. Let me, maybe if I can do it this way. If you have a dog who lays on your porch, and every time you walk out of your house, you kick the dog, he will figure out. And every time he sees you come out that door, he's going to get kicked.
Yeah.
And he'll stop laying on your porch.
Yeah.
Okay? If you do that to your wife, every time you look at your wife, you kick her, she's also going to stop laying on your porch. But she's going to wonder why you are taking your frustrations out on her or what she's done because she's not really worthy that you're kicking her every time you see her.
But
she goes through the dynamic of the thinking of the thought process of trying to solve those past, present, future references when the dog just goes, well, what the hell with this noise? I'm moving to somebody else's porch. They
right.
Don't have any regard to why.
Okay, the whying, W-H-Y-I-N-G, the past, present, future, the adjustment of it, that activity, looking for a reason,
Yes.
What can we call that, other than what I just strung together some connections?
Okay, let's just call it the mind of reason.
The mind of reason. How about not just mind?
No, no, it's the mind of reason. Because you could say, never mind. You see, when you're going to ignore something, you just say, oh, never mind. So you can't just call it mind.
There's different kinds.
But if you said never reason, that's different, you see.
You mean there's different minds, I guess, you're saying. And what?
Yeah, different, yes. Different. Of how people hear your words.
Right.
Because it's not really the words, it's how you say the words.
Right. Now notice we're saying different phrases for this subtle process of minding.
Yes.
Is there a new way, you like to say, looking for a reason? And it sounds a bit like the mind of reason is involved with time. Because it's judging past, present, future.
But it's not. It's judging concepts. Because you can have something in your time, as you jokingly say, or we play with you regarding it, saying timing is everything.
Yeah.
It's not the time element that is everything. It's how the sequential order is received. That has nothing to do with time.
Right, okay. This, how the sequential order is received is a peculiarly human perception, condition, dilemma, situation.
Well, condition.
Condition, okay. What is it?
Because it doesn't have to be bad or even negative, you see.
Yeah, because, okay, so what was the phrase? The perception. Did you write that down? You didn't write. What was the phrase that led off like a minute ago? But the perception of the reason, the condition of the situation of the mind. Oh, you can't recall. So back to what is the definition of this perceptual conceiving? Why? What is it? This very nebulous, very quicksilver. What, the mind of reason, why is that happening in humans?
Because the reason that takes place is because they're constantly revaluing the nail.
Why are they doing that?
Because it's just their nature. I'm hungry. I've had enough. I'm thirsty. I'm not thirsty. I want a beer. I want to go play. I want to not be here. I want to read a book. I want to go swim. I don't want to take notes. I want to audit. I have too much to do. I'm going to go to bed tonight. Oh, no, 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 no. It's a constant valuing, a value judgment or value placement on your condition from your nail.
Okay, hold it. So that that's the nature of the human. Can we come up with a better... That's just saying what is, and maybe that's all it is, just the way humans are, but can we go into explaining why humans are that way?
Yes, because they're constantly making decisions regarding what's the fastest path to their joy.
Yeah, see, what is it? Animals are in their joy all the time,
yes.
Spirits. What is the weird creation known as human consciousness that... wondering whether it disconnected from nature, it disconnected from direct access to source in some strange
way. Because it creates, you see. Animals, beasts don't create.
So it's a creating thing. Okay.
The creation comes into the place. If a dog poops in your yard, that's just his bathroom. But see, the creator goes, wait a second, I won't have this. I'm not going to put up with that. You can't poop in my yard. This is not your septic tank for you to come and enjoy. And see, the human comes into the thing of, you hurt my feelings, or I don't like this, or why did you do that, or on and on and on and on.
The feelings. Now you brought...
The feelings.
Emotions. Yeah, emotions. Do animals have emotions? The way you
no.
just... Okay, they don't have that. Now,
and if they do have an emotion, like if you hurt a dog and he yelps...
Yeah.
That is an emotional response, but it stops right there. 5 seconds later, he's right back in your lap, licking you in the face.
Right. Okay, so then the
And humans can, but not so much. They always remember.
As
they say in the Old South, forget hell.
Forget hell?
Forget hell,
yeah. Okay, listen to this, which is interesting. McClellan said literate cultures forget, oral cultures don't forget.
That's correct.
And the oral, South was more oral. You agree with that? The South was more oral. They never forgot Civil War. And the literate guy says, what do you do? You guys keep going on about it. You know, the literate North.
And here's why. Because those words create...
Question Ion. You just said that's right, but you're getting that from me, and I'm just spouting McLuhan, so I'm talking to myself. What if a non-Ion or a Chad Ion was hearing that? No, Bob, it's not that.
It could vacillate. It absolutely could vacillate, depending on where they are in their progression of creating.
We've got a new qualification here. When Ion gives an answer, I say, is that Bob's preference, or is that something beyond Bob's preference?
It is your preference because you're the creator, and the whole point of having interaction with non-physical, pure positive source energy, love, is to more have a cohesive bond between the host and the symbiont. And once that becomes purer, closer together, then you all of a sudden, and this is happening already, and you can verify this with Carolyn, you'll answer a question, you go, wait a second, that's what Ion would say.
Yeah. Now, host
yourself all of a sudden now. I mean, you haven't used need one time tonight.
What'd you say I did myself?
You have not used need one
time.
Oh,
yeah, that's right. This host symbiont has come up many times. What is host and what's symbiont in the physical?
Okay. You can choose it either way. The host, we would say in the simplest terms, because we're getting this from you just for the record, the host is the meat sack, 4% body fat, Bob. Okay? Then you have the symbiont, which is the non-physical part. The symbiont is what you're embracing and trying to make a cohesive bond so that they are one. And when they become one, then the pure, positive, non-physical source energy is attached now to a host that is a creator. Now it becomes an unmovable, unstoppable force.
Is that what Jesus became?
Yes. In the physical, in Buddha, and Gandhi, and many, many, in Mother Teresa.
Edgar Casey?
Edgar Casey is a perfect example, but he had to have that level of disconnection, you see, where he was out of it, kind of like your Michael Blake Reed.
Right.
Had to be out of it in order for it to flow, because there couldn't be any room for those to be at the same place and time. But if you could get over that part, then all of a sudden you can walk and turn on lights, get water and function, and go for hours and hours and hours, and it becomes just... very, very natural and normal, like a bodybuilder or a triathlon runner taking a run. That's no big deal. But if he'd never taken a step in his life, that would be very, very moving, a very huge, you know, you'd have some tachycardia over that.
Right. How about JW? Is he on the Buddha level?
No, not necessarily on the Buddha level. We would say that because of his lack of resistance, now he still has contrast, Bob.
Yeah.
He goes to the bathroom, he has to function, he has to learn to love his children, he has to allow his world and people in his world. He gets his feelings hurt sometimes.
Okay, good, I get that. How about Carolyn? Is she on the Jesus Buddha level?
She is absolutely moving very, very quickly and has been on that easy path for a very long time of being okay with where she is.
Yeah.
See, if you can't be the top mountain climber. No, I'm a mountain climber that's climbing the mountain. I'm not on the top on my way down. I'm still climbing. Heights I've not yet achieved are my desire.
Yeah.
But therefore, the better it gets, the better it gets, the better it gets. And when she starts whipping out a book a month, all of a sudden it's going to be like, well, that's no big deal. It's like the 1,000-pound yearling. Once you do it every day, it becomes very normal. She almost can fill in the syntax anymore. In her work now, she's able to fill in the syntax from Ion, even without Ion.
Right, and you said the 1,000-pound what?
Yearling.
Yeah, lifting, that's a horse?
Well, no, it's a bull. Like yeah. a boy hex a calf and puts it over the fence.
I got you. I got that. So the thing is, did Jesus want to keep going higher up the mountain, like you say Carol does?
Would
be more complete.
Maybe he got complete.
Okay.
Maybe he went out at the top of his game.
Right. Now, can you look at Dave Worster, one of the channels for Cause for Awareness? How do you see him? Is he slightly disconnected like Michael Blake Reed and Edgar Cayce? Or is he a Jesus level?
More like Jane Roberts.
Yeah.
Because he knew he was on to something, he just didn't know what.
Right. And so that is where he is. He's not the completed.
No humans are complete. See, it's always when you're complete, then you go straight to non-physical.
Was that why Jesus went straight to non-physical?
Apparently.
Because he was pretty complete.
Apparently.
And there are many people we don't know in history who became as complete as Jesus?
There are many people who had what they call the Christ consciousness.
Yeah.
To such a degree. It's like little grandmas that only like to make pies and cakes and learn to love you no matter what and listen to you no matter what, care about you no matter what, and take you right where you are and just love you no matter what you are, even if you don't fit into what society says you're supposed to be, and they learn somehow to love and accept you just as you are anyway. That you can embrace what they call an agape love that knows you love butter pecan cookies more than anything. And so anytime you're coming by or you spend the night, you wake up to that smell, that love and know from your inside, non-physical, and can resonate with that, that is all compassionate, all forgiving, all understanding. There's so countless number of those kind of people who vicariously give themselves for those around them to become a beacon of salt and light in an otherwise dying world, that understands when you get charged or accused of something that you may or may not have anything to do with, that understand anyway. You don't have to say a word. You don't have to explain it. You don't have to detail it. You don't have to fiddle with it. They just love you anyway. That's the Christ consciousness. That's the part that you're arriving to, if you can.
Well, did Jesus and his disciples plan to be presented in history, embed themselves in a literate society, a papyrus society at that time, so that their message could be carried on past their time?
But they didn't have that then, you see.
They're papyrus.
I understand, but there wasn't scribes sitting around following Jesus around. There weren't scribes at the Sermon on the Mount.
Right, so he didn't show. Some people who look at Jesus as the Son of God hypothesize that he showed up at the beginning of the alphabet phase of civilization so that his message would last for 2,000 years.
And yet you can't even get four of his disciples, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, to give the same rendition and account of his life, and they were participating in it.
Right, but they wrote it down.
But not the same version.
That's all right. Just the writing it down is what McLuhan speculated. He said,
I understand, but you'd think the closest ones to the king would get the keys to the kingdom right, don't you think?
Okay. Well, the very fragmentation caused by writing is illustrated by that.
I mean, exactly. You got cross-references. Luke has a problem with Mary Magdalene and the Mary that's the mother and the Mary that's the Mary that's the prostitute.
Yeah.
You kind of get them all tangled up. And John comes back in. He doesn't even mention Mary Magdalene.
Yeah.
And then you go into Mark, who gives more of the Zacchaeus side of the story, that he's up in a tree observing everything and not participating in a thing.
What side of the story?
Zacchaeus.
What's that?
The tax collector.
Oh, okay.
Jesus. Yeah. He climbs a little bitty man. And he climbed up in a sycamore tree and was watching Jesus because he was a tax collector. You know, those publicans weren't very well thought of back in those days. And Jesus found him and said, Zacchaeus, I'm going to go to your house tonight. And he was just all greatly honored and all that kind of business, but he didn't think much of himself.
But the guy writing about that was Luke, Mark, or John, and which one was?
Mark.
Yeah, the Mark emphasizes the Zacchaeus point of view? Or why
Zacchaeus.
Did you... What? Why is
Zacchaeus.
We were talking about Mark and his different view, and you brought up Zacchaeus. Why did
you... Because that's one of the differences that Mark makes.
By emphasizing Zacchaeus.
Yes.
Okay. And then
Zacchaeus.
And who's the next guy? Is Matthew. What did he do?
Matthew was he was famous for his recording of the Sermon on the Mount.
Oh, okay.
We jokingly call Sermon on the Mount.
But we get this now. But the point is, Jesus wasn't planning to be embedded in print. He was an oral guy doing his thing, and he wasn't thinking of the future.
He was trying to bring the scribes and the Sadducees out of their law-based, dogmatic rules and regulations. This is how you qualify to participate in the kingdom of Christ, the Yahweh's world.
Yeah, he was critiquing them being numbed by their writing paper lifestyle.
By the law, yes.
Yeah, the written. And like, what is it he says? It is written, but I say unto you. It is written, but I say unto you. You know, he emphasizes the saying rather than it's written. So he...
Well, but he never contradicts the word.
Yeah.
He says what his words were, I, Jesus, didn't come to change the law. I, Jesus, came to complete the law.
Right.
Because if you get hate out of your heart, the next thing you know, you're not worrying about murdering anybody.
Okay, I got that. Now let's...
But,
so when McLuhan said that Jesus was retrieving tribal oral values, that's partly right in that he was getting them to stop, to not be so embedded in their writing laws and learning the laws. He came to complete and transcend the law.
Yes.
For the law. The want for the law.
Yes.
The wanting for the law.
That's exactly, because they didn't have to, just like time, there didn't have to be law either.
Right. Okay. Let's go back, see how we went all over the place, which was good. Got a lot of different topics, and I was...
Yeah, Carolyn was screaming. If she'd been taking notes, she'd have been furious.
Yeah, because we got to get back to the minding process, the definition of the mind.
Give it 5 minutes, and let's see where we land.
Yeah, that's right. But in the courses, I was thinking, well, the very thing, humans like to think and talk and evaluate. As long as JW agrees to it, I've got hours of talking to someone who's interesting to talk to. That's a major human want or pleasure, right?
Because it resonates and redoubles your creation.
Yeah, that's what I meant, the creating part. I guess I'm going to create with here.
Yes.
Yes.
Co-creating it.
And somehow non-physical wants to interact with the creators.
All day, every day, because that's where creation stands. And if the non-physical part of you can be activated to such a degree, that's where the kingdom of earth is like it is in the kingdom of heaven. They become one. And once that happens, then guess what? You now have the Christ consciousness in the world. And the kingdom doesn't have to come to the world. It just has to come to you, Bob. Because the whole wide world could be on fire, but you wouldn't notice.
Right. It only has to come to me from my perspective.
Yours is the only perspective that creates in your universe.
That's true, but I'm overlapping with Carolyn.
Well, and a lot of people didn't buy into what Jesus had to say, and a lot of people took Buddha on, and a lot of people didn't understand Mother Teresa, and a lot of people thought Gandhi was a kook. So, you know, it is where it is.
But Carolyn's part of my universe, but I interact with her and others. That is a part of my bliss.
And she doesn't agree with every single absolute aspect of your beingness. Right?
I could easily say yes, but I'm going to be ornery and say no. She agrees with everything that I do.
Good. Except when you get tangled up in your own pronoun mess. See, then she gets impatient in there. And or that whole process of you don't hold her responsible for your joy.
Right.
Although much of your joy comes from her and being an experience with her.
Okay, there's a good point. If I'm responsible for my own joy or get my own joy, but it's involved with hers, like there's the ambiguity there. I don't think it's just my universe.
Oh, but it's not ambiguous what it is, Bob. What it is, it becomes a completion, you see. Because as a married couple, you become as one, and that's the same. And the closer you get, the better it gets. And then we're not even talking about sex and sexual relations. Yeah. That's a young man's game that's going after that for conquest.
Yeah.
We're talking about once you settle into being peacefully happy and there's no one else on the planet that makes you as happy as your bride.
Yeah.
The one that you, even when her hair's all messed up and she's all over the place and you still think she's the prettiest flower in the garden.
No, I don't go that far.
Well, but it's all relative, don't
yeah,
you
yeah,
see?
Yeah, okay,
but I mean,
that was a joke I had. I made a joke.
Yeah, but hey, she still smooches with you when you've got the halitosis.
Yeah,
too, so don't
right. Oh, I never have halitosis. Come on. Of course, I never know because she's the only one to smooch you with, and she pretends she doesn't notice it.
There you go. There you go. There you go. Or I can hear her now, Bob. You have Snickers on your bread. You know.
But the thing is that the co-create. See, this is the tactile or the co-creation.
Yeah, now let me go on just one more little step. Here you go. Now, that's a perfect example, Bob, of the physical and the non-physical coming together.
Oh,
that you can't tell one from the other.
Yeah.
That's the same thing with a married couple is a perfect example of that. Because guess what? Over years and years and years, after a little while, you start looking alike.
Oh, wait, a couple points, but this evoked... we've got to get back to Monty, but listening to the review after J.W. listened to the first recorded session, which was done on the 20th, and then he listened to it the 21st, he then talked about, or maybe it was the 22nd after, the 22nd, one of those days, he talked about watching the 10th Kingdom. And then he said, wow, it was amazing, all these mirrors and everything, people going through worlds and mirrors. That was... what's coming up now with our Emerald Tablets analysis of the mirror world. This 10th Kingdom, probably not, they weren't translating the Emerald Tablets, but they had it in there. It was interesting, JW fascinated by the mirrors thing, and I'm assuming he didn't know where we were leading to at that point.
That is absolutely correct, but he resonated with it.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it was a kind of a silly flick.
That's right. But it was the mirror thing. He was it hit what his subconscious or something, his future self would know he would be thinking more about.
Yes, he would not otherwise have been drawn, just like Carolyn enjoys the science fiction aspect more than you do sometimes.
Yeah.
That's just intriguing to her. But you could still be married and happy with her even though she's into the sci-fi Wonderfly shows that you would like. That's the silliest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Or, Carolyn, there's no lesbian sex scenes in this movie. Why aren't we watching it?
Yeah, I got it. But now the next thing. He then mentions the Ninth Gate. He says the Ninth Gate, which I looked up, was a movie in 99. I don't know if he watched it with Jonathan or he just knew of it. But the Ninth Gate is a phrase mentioned the last week by Ion, or the Ninth Gate.
Yeah.
And there it was being said at the very beginning on March 21st, 22nd. It just as a particular, did J.W. know the movie or did it just come up when he was watching The Tenth Kingdom and Jonathan?
It's actually a book.
Right, it was a book, yes. J.W. bring it up on March 22nd, 21st, is it because it came up in the 10th Kingdom, or because Jonathan knew it? What?
No. You've got to go all the way back to T.S. Eliot.
Okay, it's mentioned in there?
Well, if you get the T.S. Eliot, the works, and understand it, that's what it was leading to. Now, the Ninth Gate, as far as the movie goes...
But wait a minute, I'm asking, why is it in J.W.'s experience, his knowing, is it something he refers to back then?
He read it, he understood it, and he was a great lover of T.S. Eliot. Then he comes, and once you understand the Hollow Man, then you come into a place where you start looking at the 10 layers, and the Ninth Gate is a Lucifer, a devil book, okay, Satan worshiping.
Yes, I read it.
But it's not about Satan, and it's not about Lucifer, and it's not about that at all. what the book is actually in the original Latin. What it actually does is it allows you to connect with non-physical, pure, positive source energy to such a degree that you can go into non-physical and not leave your physical body. That's the part that Carolyn's asking about. It's the part through your emerald tablet understanding of how the crystals flow and where the geographics work that you can, like Mr. Corso, go through the ninth gate.
Right, and Corso's the name. I read the summary in Wikipedia, Carolyn.
Mm-hmm.
And his first name is Dean Corso, in the movie, maybe not in the book. I can't, well, maybe.
No, the book is about, the movie is about the book, but the book really is.
Yeah, and the name in the book Dean Corso?
Yes.
Yeah, because
No, in the movie is Dean Corso.
Yeah, but not in the book. So no. you're quoting, when you say Corso, you're referring to the movie, right?
Yeah, he went through the ninth gate.
Yeah, Carolyn, in the book and in the movie, he goes through the portal.
Well, the book that tells you how to do it.
Yeah, the book. Now
what's this book? Is that a series?
No.
One book.
Here's what it is. The phrase ninth gate was mentioned a week or so ago, maybe when we're doing the tablets or something. It just came up.
Well, it was the 10 layers, the 10 degrees. That's what invoked your ninth gate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it was said in passing within the last week. I don't know if we were doing the Emerald Tablet. So then I'm noticing JW says ninth gate on March 22nd, just in passing while talking about the 10th Kingdom. So I looked it up on the Wikipedia yesterday, and it's a movie, but it's based on a book, which is fiction, like Aristide Torquia. No,
Torquia.
It's a book, there's some Latin title, and it's about Lucifer, the work of Lucifer, how to do Lucifer or something. You can look it up, The Ninth Gate. And it names a book in the 17th century, but the character, it's fiction, supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
And I assume this is in the book, but in the movie, they have the guy go through the portal, the very thing we're doing, we're trying to do, going to do.
The book really does it. And the book tells you how to do it if you can figure it out. People have been playing with it, what they call devil worship.
Yeah, it's called, they think it's black magic.
Well, it is black magic, but it's not really black magic, it's just magic.
Right. Now, what is the title of the book in the 17th century that we're referring to?
It translates into the Ninth Gate.
Right. Did you just want to look up Ninth Gate in Wikipedia, Joe?
But it's not. It's the Latin version.
Yeah.
Torquia. 1659.
Okay, before Karen gets to Wiki and looks it up, is this a book documenting, this would be a major book in history, is telling us?
Yes, but it was in Latin and it was against the church and it was wrong and you can't get that from here and everybody who read it was deemed as a heretic.
Yes.
And speared.
Okay, it says, we need to find
a film based on the novel, The Club Dumas.
Yeah,
okay. Club Dumas, that's it.
Now you click on that. See, it's a novel. There's more. It gives. There's somewhere it gives the Latin name. Let's go back. It might be in the movie. Karen, just go back.
No, this should give
you
where
give
this
it.
Book
no,
came
no.
from.
No, go back.
Look, it's
1793. No.
Full of details that range from working as a Dumas to.
Just go back. I've seen the Latin name, Carol. So we just so in the book of nine. See, there it is. The nine gates of the kingdom of shadows.
Yeah.
Right. That is a book by a 17th century author, Aristide Torquia. But he's a fictional character. So then you click on Torquia, then you find the original strange name. Is it fictional? Getting mixed up. You see,
Torquia was born 1620.
It's a fictional character.
Uh-huh.
He's the content of the Club Dumas. But go back. It's the ninth, the Shadows of Wisdom. See, look. Hired to authenticate the nine gates of the Kingdom of Shadows, a book by the 17th century author. Now, Ion, Torquia is a fictional character. So who wrote the 17th century book, and what was his title?
Well, That's the whole point. They say that LCF, Lucifer,
wrote it. Yes, wrote it, but...
And then Torquia was the nom de plume. Oh, but it's fictional, Ion.
Look, there's a novel called The Club Duma, done in 93. I know we're getting, what is it, pesky? What's the...
No, not you, me.
I'm getting pesky. Can't you take this?
You're fine.
But you're losing your information here.
The Book of Shadows.
Yes.
Has a Latin name.
Okay.
The Club Dumas. And that book...
The Club Dumas is not the Latin name.
No, it is not. But it is another translation of the Book of Shadows. But the actual Latin version,
yeah,
is that storyline that was picked up on by the author is not Torquia. That's the whole point.
It was picked up for the Club Duma book.
Yes.
Yeah, and redone.
At that point, or the Satan worship, or whatever. The understanding these processes that allow you to go from this plane to another plane, going through the ninth gate.
Yeah, listen, Cal, this is interesting. Okay.
I want to do the Emerald Tablets soon. It's almost 4:15.
Well, we'll start it, and we're not going to get it done by 6, I don't think, but we can start it and then finish it after Titanium, but let's just finish this point because it goes right into that. But the point is, you were saying that there was a book done in the original book is 1500 and something.
1653
is the book with the Latin name.
Yes, in Latin.
Right, and then that exists, and not till 93 do you get a guy redoing that book under the Club Duma title and pretending Torquia is the author of the 17th century book.
Which is sort of that's just sort of the mess. I mean,
I just realized that the witch's broom, witches flying on the broom, Carol, that all this magic, which maybe the Harry Potter books get into, I'm not sure, but I don't want to get distracted there with that. That's another question. I'm just realizing that going into other places, through the mirror worlds and all that, that's all black magic stuff, which is played down. But just a minute, it's played down by the mystics. Don't get involved with black magic. Go to the great white light and union with the Godhead. But the black magic, it's interesting.
It's a way of protecting their stuff.
Who's protecting it?
By calling it black magic, it's a way of stopping the public from having access.
Right, but I'm just getting a clear image that we are learning to do black magic or witches' tricks or wizards' tricks.
No, you're learning to do magic.
Yes, just magic. But
it's just magic. Everything that's not already known or written in the law is magic. And so if it doesn't line up with what your dogmatic church says, then it's black magic.
Right, so if magic is a fact that hasn't been verified yet.
Oh, yeah, the code word. Yeah.
No, it's just interesting that all these... I'm just thinking in my own mind that the reason I didn't go into this, interested in traveling around or going to mirror worlds, to me that was minor, lower stuff. That's not the real mystical tradition. I was going for the Godhead, whatever that was. So now I'm more interested in, it turns out this is physics to deal with this mirror worlds. It's physics, right? It's a new way to be a physicist. Right, Ion? This is the way to, this 21st century physics. What was the name of the vacuum, the full name, held by the vacuum?
No more new. We're doing Emerald Tablets right now. Get your chair and get ready.
Well, as I get my chair, what the heck is the mental human process of minding? What's the word we're going to use for it? You know?
Heeding. To heed.
All right, heeding. And why do humans heed? What are they worried about?
They're not worried. They heed out of respect. They heed out of admiration. They heed out of fear of retribution. They heed out of a joint desire of completion or a scheduling process.
But Ion, why are humans like that? What created us to be different from animals? Is it the pinnacle of creation or just an aberration within perfect nature?
Well, it's both. I mean, because anyway, any descriptive adjectives we use to describe it, you can undo it, of course, as everything is two conversations.
Yeah.
But the basis of that is the beast wouldn't have it, and yet the dog, when you call it, when you whistle for it, it'll come. Okay. But it's just because it's fun, and in the now, it just soon be there as anywhere else, and you may have a bone, and or you might rub my ear. But with humans, it's a different thing. It's like, come here now, or if it's a panic thing of something's going on, you'd come and you wouldn't have this conversation. Carolyn's screaming, she's falling in the bathtub or something. I'm going to go tend to her. Okay. You don't have any problem doing that.
Ion, are we going to find out why we're humans are different for the rest of nature at the end of time, or end of in the future, or now, in the real now, the bigger now? Like, are we trying to figure out why we're human, why we're like
no.
this?
No.
We just are.
You just are. And not everybody is, but some are. It's the human condition.
Right. And that is never going to be figured out, pinned
well,
down.
Well, it can be. We'll tell you it's not a problem, but then as you evolve, and as you continue on your path, the fastest one to your joy,
yeah.
then you're going to find that the energy that it took to figure that out didn't matter because you weren't interested in murdering anybody anyway because you didn't have any hate in your heart. So why did we have to learn how not to murder when we could just get rid of the hate and then we have love and then we ain't murdering nobody anyway?
When we get to that state, are we not looking for a reason?
Yes.
We're stopped looking for a reason, or we know the reason.
Well, that's when you transcend. More times than not, that's when you transcend.
You've got the reason.
You've got the reason. It starts making sense. And then you come into the completeness.
So, Karen, we have to come to this completeness and not transcend.
Right. That'll bring the kingdom of God, yeah. the kingdom of heaven on earth as it is in heaven.
Okay.
Good.
I am complete.
I am complete.
Okay, we're going to...